It's the Afternoon Delight here on 970 ESPN. All of our guests here on the show, as always, brought to you by the Fox Bet app. Make the call, download the app today. On the phone line, good friend of the show, good friend in real life from DK Pittsburgh Sports and the Locked On Steelers podcast, it's Chris Carter. Chris, what up, partner? How we doing on this Monday?
What's up, Wes? How you living? I'm doing great, man. It's a nice day out today. I wore a sweater thinking like, all right, it's going to be like low, like high 40s and then work its way. I went outside. I was like, oh, snap, I can wear a t-shirt. What's up with that, though?
Oh, buddy, you always make me laugh. And you know what? I just thought of something. Something I've been kicking around on the show today that I feel like you might have a nuanced take on, an unbiased take on, okay? Is it fair if I start with a little bit of a curveball for you here, Mr. Carter, before we get into some football? Is that okay?
Go right ahead. You don't have to make me go get basketball, Chris. Is that not a thing right now?
No. Actually, I guess, see, I would say hockey, Chris, but it's not even, I don't know if it's as much as a hockey. You'll see where I'm going here in a second, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
Earlier on the show today, I discussed a little bit Pierre Maguire, who's the NBC, the NHL on NBC color analyst, said over the weekend that he thought it's insane how disrespected Sidney Crosby is. You know, for how great this guy is on the ice, for everything he's accomplished, for how good of a dude he is in the community, that he just feels like across the NHL, he's not respected as much as he should be. And I was discussing that, and I was kind of drawing some parallels, right, where I thought you could say the same thing about LeBron James for a time, like when he was in Miami and he was kind of a villain. I feel like you could say the same thing about Tom Brady for a time, kind of in the midst of some of all that Spygate and Deflategate and all they do is cheat in New England thing. But both of those guys have, you know, done a 180 in that regard too. Like LeBron James right now, I feel like, is insanely popular and beloved. Look, Tom Brady right now has never been more popular and liked across the sports landscape in this country than he is right at this moment. But Chris, I don't know if that's ever going to happen to Sid, because to me that seems like an anti-hockey culture thing. Like, hockey's the one sport, maybe baseball's similar in this regard, right? Like, they don't want to laud the great guys because they want the fourth liners to be just as important as the superstars. So that was kind of my take, Hal. You know, this happens to every all-time Chris, hell, I think there was even a time where as a country we kind of turned on Tiger Woods a little bit, and then that came back around full circle years
well,
ago.
Well, that was a little different.
That was a little different. You're right. A little bit different. But do you notice that, like, when I say that I don't think that'll happen to Sid, maybe it will a little bit, but not to the extent of like a Tom Brady or a LeBron James, because I just don't think that's a hockey culture thing to do. Am I too ingrained, or is that something that you, like I said, is obviously you're someone who follows the Penguins and you know what's going on in hockey, yeah, but you're not a massive fan. Do you think that's fair, or do you think, you know, in time, kind of all of the greats inevitably do get their roses, even in sports like hockey and baseball where, you know, the culture is not to prop any one person up?
See, here's the thing. I think you hit it on it with the hockey culture point, because the hockey culture is what drives the NHL. You know, and every sport has a culture.
Yes.
But with the NFL, everybody knows who Tom Brady is. You could sail off to a remote island in the West Indies, and they don't have no TV, no internet, no nothing, but they know who Tom Brady is. The same thing would go for LeBron James. Those two guys, you know, Sidney Crosby is a worldwide icon, but basketball and football, they just reach so much farther than hockey when you see the amount of viewership that these sports get, the amount of attention that these sports get. And I think that's what drives kind of painting these guys back into good guys. You know, it's like, you know what? We've heard of Tom Brady for years, but you just can't deny it. I mean, this guy just won a seventh Super Bowl ring. Who's ever going to get mad at that guy? LeBron James, yeah, we hated when you went to Miami because everyone told us to hate you, but now you went back to the Cleveland, you won a title with them, then you got a title with the Lakers. You're all that, man. And I mean, heck, they're making Space Jam this year. Space Jam 2 is getting made this year. I think the problem, if you want that to happen for Sidney Crosby, hockey has to grow a lot in the next few years, you know, before he retires or whenever he starts winding down his career, for it to get to that level. Because the same people who are hating on Sid, they're the ones who are going to, I think they're going to be the fans who kind of, you know, be the ones who have to give him his flowers. Now, I do think when Sid retires, there will be a sense of, like, you know, everyone kind of just, like, claps because they're supposed to, and he's making his final tour round, you know. But, like, you know, like with Kobe Bryant, like, when his, even before he died, when he was doing his farewell tour, everybody was like, I got to stop to go see Kobe Bryant. Same thing with Michael Jordan. I don't know if the people who make up the NHL fan base are diverse enough or wide enough to be able for there to be like a group the way that there has been for the NFL with Tom Brady and for the NBA with really anyone who's been a villain over the past year. Because I mean, Kobe was hated for a little bit of time before everyone was like, "Hey, you know what? He's the man. Let him be the man."
It's well said by our buddy Chris Carter, DK Pittsburgh Sports, and the Locked On Steelers podcast. I appreciate your take there here to get us started, Mr. Carter. Now on to for what you signed up for, the Steelers and the football stuff here. News today that Al Villanueva is going to be visiting with the Ravens this week. Are you surprised, one, from Al's standpoint, and two, from Baltimore's standpoint, a team that is predicated on running the football, and we know that that hasn't always been Al's strength, not particularly this last year, certainly.
Well, no, I'm not really surprised at either team or either party there. I think that Villanueva, he wants a contract, and the Ravens, they need themselves an orderly a tackle. I almost stepped two steps ahead there. I think it was Orlando Brown is the tackle they're trying to trade away. But they're trying to trade away a tackle who would be, who could net them a top pick or a future pick or something along those lines. And Villanueva would be the perfect kind of depth guy. It's like, hey, you're a vet. Go in there, play. And play well. I think it makes sense. He knows about your opponent, your division rival. He'd be able to help you in that regard. And he's a veteran. You could plug and play on either side of the offensive line, really, and say, hey, go get him. So what if you're not a supreme run blocker? If you're coming off the bench to be that guy, that's fine. I mean, you're gonna find a lot of rookies and late round draft picks who, are going to have similar problems, but not bring the experience to say, hey, I know what it's like when we're adjusting to all these blitz calls. And hey, and when you're playing those twos, sometimes three games against the Steelers in a year, he's saying, I know what these twists are. I know what these guys like to do because I've been practicing against them for like 8 years. Sure. So I think it makes sense for both sides. Villanueva wants a job. And, if he gets it in Baltimore, he gets it in Baltimore. It's how sports works, man. He may be your nemesis, but, one day, it just depends on who's signing your paycheck.
Gosh, that would be bizarre. Certainly. Big Al in Baltimore. Oh, no thanks. Although, you know what? After what we saw last year, TJ versus Big Al, things could be worse.
That's the reaction that I've been seeing from a lot of Steelers fans. And I kind of agree. I mean, even if it's Alex Highsmith going up against the guy. Like, I'm kind of like, actually, I like that matchup. I think that he would struggle with either one of them for an entire game. So if you're a Steelers fan, I think that you're right if you're saying, fine, Big Al, go to the Ravens. Help, you'll be a double agent over there.
Chris, can we get the Ravens to sign Dante Moncrief while we're at it as well, too? Baltimore, can I interest you in this guy? Chris,
that would be the sneak move.
More and more teams opting out of voluntary workouts. We saw the Steelers late in last week. More teams today. How does this all play out for the NFL? Right, we obviously know, like any business, you can't force your employees. You can't force the players and the coaches to get vaccinated. Right, you can't force them to do that. So what does that mean? Are they going to have to step up health and safety measures that maybe they didn't want to spend the time and the money on, but is going to be necessary here still to maybe get us started and through some of this season? Does it mean that it's just inevitable that a lot of these OTAs and minicamp things are going to be virtual like last summer? Or do you think that, again, the NFL will step in, implement the safety measures that the players are asking for and say, last year we want that to be a one-off thing. We need to start getting this moving back in the normal direction. How do you think this all plays out with a lot of teams across the NFL and only more and more so every week opting out of voluntary workouts?
I think it's a matter of the NFL saying how bad do they want to actually fight for this? Because I'm sure there's coaches and guys in the and staff members who are like, yeah, we'd like to get them in here earlier. But, we all know this isn't just about this particular OTAs and these particular safety procedures. The players are ticked because they're about to have a 17th game this season. Mm. They're putting themselves more at risk. They didn't get an extra bye week. And at the bottom line, they are right. Why do we have to do this? Cam Hayward brought this up. We have less injuries this year. All we talked about it. And I have to say, I was part of turning out this machine because I thought that a lot of players would get injured last year with no OTAs and having to work out at home. I was like, man, more people are going to suffer injuries the same way it happened when the NFL had their strike in the middle of the
mini lockout. Yep.
the mini lockout. So I was like, well, this is going to happen. And then it didn't. And Cam Hayward was pointing out, like, yeah, see, we're fine. We don't need these things. And why are we going to put ourselves at risk when more of us can get it? And again, for the people who are like, it doesn't matter if you get a little COVID. Well, there's players all across sports who are developing, lung conditions where it's impacting their entire life. Guys who never had to take inhalers are having to take inhalers. Guys who, used to be able to go at 110% all the time, now it's cutting down how much they can actually put into it, and it's endangering their health, not just on the field, but in their livelihoods or in their life. So, yeah, I get it. I think if the NFL players can stand together for once, which has been tough for them with the NFLPA not being a very strong union, I think it would be nice for them. But this is also an area where I think the NFL is kind of like, you know what? We don't care. We're about to get a 17th game this year. Fine. Keep your non showing up for OTA, thing right here. We'll see you when we need you for the mandatory minicamp.
Chris, 10 days till the NFL draft kicks off, gets underway in Cleveland, Ohio, and the debate is at a fever pitch here in Pittsburgh and across western Pennsylvania. One, have the Steelers handcuffed themselves into taking a running back at pick 24? And two, is that a quote-unquote bad value decision? Or do we make too much out of that whole running back value debate when it's just quite simply a position that the Steelers have clearly needed now for a few years?
Yeah, I think that people who, I get that some people want to argue in the long term. You could say, yeah, you know what, running backs don't have as much value as, say, if you could draft a center or an offensive tackle with that spot and he lasts you a few more years in the NFL. Okay, I get your point, but if a team really needs a playmaker running back, who's to stop him? I mean, one thing to remember is that, people talk about, who needs a running back? Well, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers needed two. And, they got Ronald Jones, who was a second-round pick, and Leonard Fournette, who was a first-round pick. And, yes, Leonard Fournette came from another team, but I guarantee you, when they saw, there's value at that position. We want to add to our backfield. It's all about making the right call. And it's actually a piece that I wrote for this morning at DKPittsburghSports.com that you can actually see for free right now, because people have been saying the Steelers are bad at drafting running backs in the late round. It's like, no. Everybody's bad at drafting running backs in the late round. Like, it's like you look across the board. I saw since 2017, when the Steelers drafted James Conner, there have been 61 running backs picked after the top 100 pick. And of those 61 running backs, only six have had a season with a 900 rushing yards or more. And one of those six was James Conner. And that's the whole thing. And also, there's only been 60 players to do it. So to get 900 yards since 2017. So, when I look at these numbers, it's like, the Steelers actually did pretty good getting at least James Conner from these hauls, because most teams whiffed entirely with multiple picks. And then other teams, like, they'll say, well, what about the Packers and Aaron Jones? It took the Packers five attempts to get a running back before they landed on Aaron Jones. They were like, oh, yeah, that's our guy. The same thing with the Seahawks with Chris Carson. He was the sixth guy they had taken between that draft and the four drafts prior before they said, hey, he's going to be our starting running back. And some of those guys were first-round picks, like Rashad Penny. So, for me, the value of running back is if you can get a guy. What happens at every position is there's always whiffs. It's funny to me that we talk about the whiffs at running back, but people want to overlook how many times we've whiffed at quarterback, but no one says, hey, don't draft a quarterback in the first round because you may end up with Jake Locker or Blake Bortles or any number of guys, or Sam Darnold like you right now. To me, the Steelers, if Najee Harris or Travis Etienne are at 24, that's a heck of a pick. Either one of those guys fit right there, and either one would last them next 4 or 5 years, which would help them end Ben's era and get into the new era with a new quarterback, with a balanced offensive attack, with a talented playmaker at running back. There's no understating that value. Now, I think the biggest thing is when you're a rebuilding team, when your team stinks and you don't have a nucleus, should you take a running back in the top 10 pick?
Right.
That's where I think the running back value comes into play. But not picking 24 when you already have a defensive nucleus and several other key players.
I think that's well said. It's one thing when you're taking Saquon Barkley at pick 4 and you have all the needs that the Giants had, right? Or pick 3, I think, actually, it might have been, versus the situation that the Steelers are in. I'm picking up what you're putting down on that logic there. And I agree with you as well, too. I think maybe we're a little conditioned. As Steelers fans, we've seen the success of finding wide receivers in later rounds, right? And maybe we think, all right, well, we could just do that with running backs. Yeah, that's well said by you, right? Like the Alvin Kamaras, the Kareem Hunts that's much more rare than, you know, to find those guys than it is the Derrick Henrys, the Nick Chubbs, the, you know, the guys that were second, first round picks, top 50 picks. I think that is the money spot for running backs.
Even the Alvin Kamara, those guys were top of the third round.
That's like true. It's true.
They just missed the second round. Like Alvin Kamara was the third pick of the third round of his year. And by the way, the reason he wasn't picked higher was because his draft had Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, and Joe Mixon ahead of him.
So it's a pretty good year.
That's a pretty doggone good year. And that's what I want to remind people when they say, well, Alvin Kamara was the third round pick. Why not wait to the third round this year? It's like, this year don't got five starters ahead of that guy that's going to be in the third round. You got three and then a bunch of maybes, and maybe they'll work out. Maybe you'll sneak in one and get a guy. You know, maybe you'll land, you know, Philip Lindsay was an undrafted guy, but the Steelers have taken those stabs. They played that lottery. It hasn't worked out for them like it doesn't work out for most teams. So now you go and get the definitive guy in the early round that makes sure that you're locked in at that position.
Chris, buddy, I got like 30 seconds here before I got to hit a break. Vegas win totals came out over the weekend. Steelers at 9 wins this season, according to Vegas. Over, under, push. What are you saying?
I say over. You know, 9 wins would be what, 9-8? I think that their division isn't as strong as people think it is. I think that some of those teams that are top ranked aren't going to be as heavy as hard hitting as they were next year. But a lot of this depends on, do they get their running back, and how do they address with the other day two picks that will contribute this year. But I have them at least. I have them at like 10 wins. It's actually a pretty solid stance where I have them going.
Chris Carter, DK Pittsburgh Sports, the Locked On Steelers podcast, every Monday with me here on the Afternoon Delight. Buddy, great stuff as always. Appreciate your knowledge. Appreciate your time. We'll talk soon. Thank you.
Appreciate you, Wes.